Welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble, as ever, in Dalgety Bay, and delighted to welcome Keir Bloomer from Reform Scotland. And we're going to be talking about a recent report published by the organisation Reform Scotland around National 4 and National 5 qualifications. Just to start off with, Keir, could you, I'm sure listeners will have met and heard from you before, but could you just give us a brief background to your career in education?
Right. Well, my career finished as chief executive of Clackmannanshire Council. Before that, I was the director of education there and previously deputy director in Strathclyde.
That's great. And I'll just say at this point, if you're listening to the live show or indeed the podcast, you can get in touch with any questions or comments for Keir in two ways. You can email edutalker@hotmail.co.uk. That's edutalkr. Or you can pop something up on Twitter and just use the hashtag edutalk. So to start off with, Keir, could you give us a little bit of kind of background to the organisation Reform Scotland and the recent involvement in debates around education, and then introduce the this recent report around the qualifications?
Reform Scotland is one of a very small number, indeed it may effectively be the only general policy think tank in Scotland today. It publishes reports on virtually any subject of public interest. It has taken a significant interest in education over the past 4 years or so. Along with the Centre for Scottish Public Policy, it was responsible for setting up the Commission for School Reform, which produced its report in March of 2013. And that remains, I think, a very salient report. A lot of what that report has to say is very relevant still to the national debate on education and should be the subject of continuing government interest. So that is what Reform Scotland is. From time to time, it issues briefing papers. These are not full-scale reports, they're much smaller than that, on matters that it thinks are of some public concern. One of these is the fact that over the past few years, there has been a trend in Scottish secondary education for young people to take a smaller number of qualifications in fourth year. Previously, the norm really across the country was that young people had the option of taking up to 8 subjects. More recently, that has declined. The number of schools still offering 8 was relatively small in the session that finished a few months ago. 7 was quite common. 6 was even more common, and 5 was a feature in a number of schools up and down the country. So there has been a reduction in the total number of qualifications that young people have been taking in S4 over the past few years.
And so this is a kind of great difference then in the actual numbers of exams that can be taken. And can you say a bit about your kind of methods for collecting the data, and were these differences pronounced within authorities or across authorities?
Well, the method of collecting the data was by freedom of information requests to all authorities. Some of them, incidentally, didn't know how many subjects they were offering in their various schools. Others were perfectly certain about it. The differences between one school and another were sometimes due to local authority policies. So there were some local authorities covering, in fact, virtually the whole of northeastern Scotland, where there was a uniform policy decision that 6 was the maximum. In other authorities, the decision was left to the school, and therefore you got quite a wide variety within authorities. But that was not true of the first group of authorities that I spoke about, because they had a policy that was adhered to across the board.
Yourself, Keir, with your long involvement in Scottish education, can you pin down what you would consider to be the kind of major issues of such a disparity across the country?
Well, I think there are quite a lot of important issues. I mean, the first one is it's a disparity across the country. So if you are in Aberdeenshire, Aberdeen City, Moray, Angus, Dundee, you cannot do more than six. Therefore, at the end of S4, at best, you are going to have fewer qualifications than young people in other authorities where eight is the norm or seven is the norm. And that has nothing to do with the capability of the young person or their ability to meet the standards in different subjects. It is purely down to the policy of the local authority. So that's the first important implication, that it has created a kind of geographical postcode lottery that, to my mind, is completely unacceptable. The second implication is that the total number of qualifications being taken at the end of S4 has dropped quite significantly. Now, this does not obviously suggest any decline in standards of education, but it does mean that young people in Scotland, on the whole, are less qualified at the end of S4 than they were before. The third important implication is that those who are going on to S5, if they are in an authority which permits them only five choices or six choices, have got really very little flexibility in making their decisions about which subjects to take at higher. Fourthly, and I think more importantly, those young people who are leaving school at the end of S4 are at a disadvantage if they have been in a school or a local authority area where the number of qualifications that they are allowed to sit is less than, let's say, seven at the very least. So their life chances have been diminished by this. Fifthly, I think it's important to state that there is no rationale for what has happened, because the underlying thought behind this reduction in opportunity is that nothing that the young person has done prior to entering the beginning of S4 counts towards the learning that they have that would enable them to pass examinations at the end of that year. And that, of course, is complete rubbish. The process of education is continuous and was unchanged, in fact, by a curriculum for excellence. There is really no basis for this artificial restriction in the number of qualifications that young people can take.
So one of the things that yourself and Reform Scotland would be arguing, therefore, is that working in S3 or possibly even earlier should contribute materially towards later study and qualifications.
Of course it should. Otherwise, what are they doing in S3? It's very difficult to see how you justify keeping them in S3 if nothing that they are learning has any significance for what they learn thereafter.
And my interpretation of the report, Keir, I kind of came to the conclusion that maybe yourself and Reform Scotland would wish to see eight across the board. Is that correct, or can you kind of clarify that and say why you would, whether you would, arrive at a particular number?
I don't think that there is an ideal number. Although I don't think there was anything wrong with the prevailing situation before, where eight was the norm. And you're quite right. I mean, I don't particularly see the justification for deviating from what we were doing previously. But if we ended up in a situation where seven was the norm, I wouldn't be unduly upset about it. What worries me about what has taken place is that opportunity has been restricted for a very big proportion of Scotland's young people for no good reason. I mean, this has happened by accident. It is not the policy of the Scottish Government that the number of presentations should go down. It's not the policy of Education Scotland. In fact, the guidance which Education Scotland issued a couple of months ago at the behest of the new Cabinet Secretary suggests that there is no justification for restricting young people to five subjects, although it doesn't go on to say anything about six subjects. So it is a misinterpretation of guidance about the number of hours needed to achieve a pass at National 5 that has led to this situation. It's simply based on a misunderstanding and is an outstanding example of the role of folly in deciding Scottish educational policy.
Do you feel that there's been more research required in this area, or do you feel that the powers that be have kind of taken on board this report and started to make changes, either national advice or at local level?
I think that the advice that was issued by Education Scotland a couple of months ago represents a significant step forward. What I do not know, of course, is what is currently being offered in individual secondary schools round Scotland. It may be that the problem that we highlighted is now largely solved, but we don't know that. We will know when we see the numbers of presentations in the examination diet in 2017.
I probably should have asked this earlier on, Keir, but you feel that the people that this might impact upon most are those who are leaving in the summer of at the end of fourth year or kind of Christmas into fifth year, rather than university applicants?
Yes, because it then has a significant impact on the package of qualifications that they actually leave school with and are able to present to a college, a potential employer, or wherever they wish to go next. They don't get a second chance. As far as those staying on into fifth year are concerned, they can achieve five hires just as they did before, or three hires, or whatever level of qualification their aptitude takes them towards. So they're not in quite the same position. The difficulty, as I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, as far as those going on to fifth and beyond is concerned, is that if they're in a school which is only allowing them to take five or six subjects, then their choice of subject in S5 is much restricted. So if they didn't make particularly wise choices in S4, they're probably not in as strong a position in S5 as they would wish to be. But their position is not as conclusively settled as in the case of those who leave at the end of their fourth year, or, as you say, Christmas leavers in fifth year.
Now, we're just coming into the last few minutes of the programme, so I'll just remind listeners that you're listening to Keir Bloomer of Reform Scotland, and we're talking around the unintended consequences, so to speak, of the National 4 and National 5 qualifications in Scotland. You can still get in touch by email or Twitter if you've got any comments or questions for Keir. Would you say that this report is something practical to offer to the education community around the whole sort of closing the attainment gap agenda? You know, this would be, if we sorted, or maybe we have sorted, as you alluded to, Keir, but if we do get this sorted out, that will actually materially help to close the gap?
I think that the trend that was observable over the past two or three years was undoubtedly having the effect of opening the gap. So if this trend has been put into reverse, that's a good thing. Obviously, in itself, that's not going to do anything very substantial to close the gap. We had a gap when everybody had the opportunity to do eight subjects, or virtually everybody had that opportunity. The situation was made worse for the reasons that I've described, but I think that, I hope that, that problem is on the way to being resolved.
And just finally, Keir, in terms of the closing the attainment gap agenda, what other kind of advice has come from Reform Scotland? And, you know, are there any papers that you could direct listeners to? And indeed, could you give us a flavour of the current work of the organisation with respect to Scottish education?
The organisation produced a paper called Challenge Paper 1, which looked at the issue of closing the gap. And the main focus of that paper is on the consequences of having simultaneously a policy of trying to raise attainment for all and a policy of trying to narrow the gap between disadvantaged and advantaged young people. And Reform Scotland believes that there are lots of things that you can do that will raise attainment for all, and we should be doing them, but many of them will not close the gap. And indeed, some of them might serve to widen the gap, because over the past 50 years, Scottish education has been consistently making efforts to try and assist disadvantaged young people. And very often the measures that have been adopted have been more successful with able and advantaged young people than they have been with the intended target group of disadvantaged young people. So although we should certainly be doing anything we can to raise standards of attainment overall, we should not believe that raising standards of attainment for all will have the effect automatically of closing the gap. It certainly won't. We require to do something which is additional and of high quality to benefit those who are currently disadvantaged. Now, that, I think, has huge implications, because it affects the way in which schools are organised. Schools are organised still on a pattern that demonstrates the origins of secondary education, mass secondary education, in the late 19th and early 20th century. Essentially, it is a model that offers something similar to everybody within fixed hours on a limited number of days of the year. But it is clear that if we are going to close the gap significantly, there has to be a mechanism whereby something additional is offered to those who are at a disadvantage. And that has huge organisational implications. It seems to me that if the government's efforts, and I'm entirely in favour of what the Scottish Attainment Challenge is trying to do, if these efforts are going to succeed, we need to think seriously about how the system can be reorganised so that we can offer something additional and of very high quality to those who are most in need of it.
Keir, thank you so much for taking time out this evening to speak to us on Radio EduTalk. Best wishes for the future, and I'll just leave listeners with a couple of links. You feel free to chip in with any extra links, Keir, but my understanding is the best place to go for information on Reform Scotland is quite simply reformscotland.com. Yep. If you have any difficulties finding the report that we've been talking about this evening, which is National 4s and 5s Unintended Consequences, then you can go to twitter.com/edutalker and you'll see the link up on our Twitter page. Anybody else that you might you could direct us to, Keir?
You could have a look at the Royal Society of Edinburgh website,
of course,
the education papers that appear on that.
Mm-hmm.